Our New Testament reading, if you'd like to join today in your own Bible or a pew Bible, is from Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Luke 1, beginning with verse 26. Before we read, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, who caused all of the Scripture to be written for our learning, by your Holy Spirit, grant this morning that we may hear, that we may read, that we may learn, that we may inwardly digest your word, so that we might not only embrace it, but ever hold fast to it and live it. Father, fill us with the truth of the gospel and the hope of eternal life which you have given through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Luke 1, beginning with verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Where our Old Testament reading is from Genesis 37. Genesis 37. We're starting a new sermon series today from the book of Genesis. And Genesis is the first book of the Bible. Genesis is a Greek word that means origin or beginning. Genesis is a book of origins. It's a book of beginnings. The beginning of the beginning. Creation is in Genesis. The beginning of the human race, Adam and Eve and their creation, is in Genesis. The beginning of the story of redemption is found in Genesis. The fall into sin and death and God's promise to overcome sin and death. Genesis is the beginning of God's covenant with the chosen people, Abraham and his descendants. Now the story of Abraham, you know this, the story of Abraham is key in the history of redemption. It's a key story in the Scriptures. For in Abraham, God promised this. He promised this to Abraham. This is from Genesis 12:3. God said, "In you all the families of the earth will be blessed." God promised to bless all families, all peoples, all nations, you here this morning through one family. And that blessing would be Jesus, a descendant of Abraham, a far-off grandson of Abraham. Well, we are about to study another descendant of Abraham, not as far off as Jesus, but a great-grandson of Abraham, Joseph. The story of Joseph begins in Genesis 37. Now, interestingly, the Joseph narrative encompasses as many chapters of Genesis as Abraham does, 14. But word for word, it's longer, 25% longer than the story of Abraham. In fact, there are more words devoted to Joseph than any other person in the Old Testament, which is interesting, more than David. As we study the life of Joseph, you're going to see three primary themes emerge. First of all, we'll see that Joseph is an example of obedience to the Lord. In the midst of trials, in the midst of temptations, in the midst of sufferings, and in the midst of exile, Joseph trusted the Lord, and he lived his life devoted to the Lord. The second theme that we'll see in Joseph is God's providence, the doctrine that God is in control, that God is in charge. And we'll see in the story of Joseph that God worked through all the events in Joseph's life and around Joseph's life to accomplish his will. And the third theme that we'll see in the life of Joseph is that he is a type of Jesus. In other words, he prefigures, he points to Jesus. Well, today we begin our study looking at the first 11 verses of Genesis 37. Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Hear this dream that I've dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Or are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I've dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you've dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Joseph was 17. Joseph was 17 years old, and Joseph was the son of Jacob, also known as Israel. Israel was the son of Isaac. Isaac was the son of Abraham. Joseph, this great grandson of Abraham, was the favorite son of Jacob. Our passage tells us this, that Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons, and Jacob had 12 sons. 12. Now, before we look at this any further, let's just be clear. This is not a positive prescription for parenting. It is not. This is not an example of healthy parenting, lest you think otherwise. Don't do this. Love your children equally. Love them equally. Now, there are all kinds of reasons why. Reasons that are seen in our passage today. Reasons that are lived out in our passage today. Reasons that we'll talk about momentarily. But even before we get to that, let's explore why Joseph was the favored. Why he was the favorite son. Well, the main reason is this. Joseph's mother was Rachel. His mother was Rachel. And Jacob loved Rachel. It was seemingly love at first sight. You can read the account of their meeting in Genesis 29. Jacob loved Rachel. And he loved her so much that he agreed to work 7 years to marry her. 7 years without pay. 7 years without compensation. Now the account of their courting, the account of their getting together says this, that 7 years seemed only as a few days to Joseph because of his love for Rachel. He loved her so much, those 7 years just flew by. He didn't care. However, if you know the story, I'm not going to go into all the details, but Jacob was tricked. He was deceived into marrying Rachel's older sister. Rachel was the younger sister. He was deceived into marrying Rachel's older sister, Leah. So then he worked another 7 years in order to marry Rachel. So Jacob had two wives simultaneously, but he loved Rachel best. Again, before we move on, let's be clear. This is not a positive prescription for marriage. This is not an example of marriage. This is not what God designed for marriage. Don't do this. Don't do this. Jacob's 12 sons were born to his two wives and his two wives' servants. They're referred to as Jacob's concubines. They're also at times referred to as Jacob's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. They were the servants of Rachel and Leah. So Jacob's 12 sons were brothers through four mothers. And of the 12 sons, Rachel, whom Jacob loved the best, Rachel had two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. These were the last two born. They were the youngest, and they were born in Jacob's old age. But Joseph was his favorite, even above Benjamin. Now, perhaps it was because Rachel died while giving birth to Benjamin. Perhaps it was because Rachel was still alive when Joseph was born and when Joseph was young. And those were just delightful, happy days for Jacob. For whatever reason, Jacob loved Joseph more than all of his sons. And this love, this preference, was made visible through an article of clothing, a tunic. A robe. Jacob gifted Joseph, and Joseph alone of all of his sons, with a robe of many colors, a richly ornamented tunic. Now, besides a very public display of favoritism, besides a very public display of a doting display of love, it also pointed to Joseph's status in the family and also his future. The only other place in the Old Testament where you find this Hebrew word translated many colors, the only other place that you find this many colors word is in describing the garment of a princess, Princess Tamar, who was the daughter of King David. So Joseph received from his father robes fit for royalty. Royal robes. Perhaps showing that even though he wasn't the firstborn, he was number 11, he was the desired heir. He was Jacob's preferred heir, preeminent among all his brothers. Now, at the opening of our passage, Joseph is out in the fields. He's out in the pasture. He's shepherding the flocks with his brothers. So we learn here that Joseph's a shepherd. The 17-year-old favored shepherd, we're told, brings a bad report to his father about his brothers. We're not told what the report was about, but they were probably guilty of doing some sort of wrong. If you read the few chapters before 37, you'll find lots of actions of Joseph's brothers. You'll find that they're guilty of lying, they're guilty of stealing, they're guilty of murder, they're guilty of incest. But this is our introduction to Joseph. Tattletale. The favored son. A preferred heir. Doted on by his father. Now, if you were one of Joseph's brothers, if you put yourself in the place of one of his 11 brothers, how would you feel about him? What would you think? Well, verse 4 tells us what they thought. Verse 4 says, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. What did they think about him? Hatred, hostility, enmity to their brother. Then we're told that Joseph had a dream. Already in Genesis, if you read through Genesis, already in Genesis, you'll see that God has spoken to his people in dreams. He spoke to Abraham in a dream. He spoke to Jacob in a dream. And he gives Joseph a dream. Actually, he gives Joseph two dreams. He doesn't speak to him in these dreams. But these are dreams that foretell the future. These are dreams that will come true. In the first dream, Joseph and his brothers are binding sheaves. And in other words, they're harvesting some sort of grain and they're tying it together in bundles. That's a sheaf, a bundle of grain. And in this dream, Joseph's sheaf rises up and stands upright. And the sheaves of his brothers all gather around his and they bow down to his sheaf. They bow down to his position, bow down to his power and authority. They bow down to his person. Now Joseph has this dream, and what does he do? Does he keep it to himself and ponder it over, wonder what it might mean? Does he go ask his father about it? Hey, Dad, help me understand this dream. No, he tells his brothers. They already hated him. They already despised him. And verse 8 says this, so they hated him even more. They didn't hate him already enough. They hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Now, his second dream is similar, just on a more cosmic scale. In the second dream, the sun and the moon and 11 stars bow down to him. And what does he do? Again, he relates this dream to his family. And this time, even his father who loves him more than all the rest, his father who has doted upon him and gifted to him, his father rebukes him, saying, what's this? Shall all of us bow down to the ground before you, Joseph? Now, as unbelievable as it seemed at the time, that's exactly what happened. And we will see that unfold. Well, our passage ends with this in verse 11. Verse 11 ends with this, and his brothers were jealous of him. His brothers were jealous of him. They were envious. Now, the Hebrew word here is really envy. It's straight up envy. And the root of the word envy literally means burning. That's originally what this word meant, burning. As in a fire burning something. It came to mean a burning of the face. In other words, a change in color due to a deep emotion. Envy creates a burning, a deep emotion. Why? Because others have what we don't have. Because others possess what we don't possess. Because others enjoy benefits that we don't enjoy. Joseph's brothers were envious of him. They burned over him. Joseph had what they didn't have. Joseph possessed what they didn't possess. Joseph enjoyed what they did not enjoy. And what did Joseph have? Joseph had their father's attention. He had their father's ear. He had their father's love. He had their father's favor. He had their father's gift, a royal robe. Jacob had dreams. Well, Joseph had dreams, sorry. Well, Jacob's poor parenting decisions combined with Joseph's action caused a fire within their family. It caused a blaze within their family, a burning within their family. Envy. Have you ever burned with envy? Struggled. Have you ever struggled with envy? You ever burn because you have family or friends or coworkers or neighbors or acquaintances who have what you don't, who possess what you don't, who enjoy what you don't. Where you look around and you see others who have a healthy marriage, a successful career, others who are happily retired, who go to a more prestigious school than you, have a higher grade point average than you, who have well-behaved children, who enjoy financial success more than you, who are much more physically fit than you are, who seem to have all the latest gadgets and you don't. You look around and you see others who have robes of many colors. Envy is a burning that flames forth even more sin. Envy is a burning that continues to flame forth even more sin. And it does so usually in a couple of ways. And the first is this: envy can lead to covetousness. Envy can lead to coveting. Yeah, here's what coveting is. Coveting is one of the Ten Commandments. It's the tenth commandment. Coveting is a desire to have what others have and you don't. And then you desire it for yourself. The envy of Joseph's brothers would have turned to coveting if they had desired his robe for their own, if they wanted that fancy tunic for themselves. That's coveting. You see what somebody else has and you want that thing that they have for yourself. Coveting goes beyond a burning. It goes beyond an emotional response. Coveting becomes a true desire of the heart, a desire that betrays discontent with life. Discontent with your life. Coveting betrays a dissatisfaction with what God has given you, with what God has provided for you, how He has provided for you. So in other words, coveting is when you reject God's provision in your life. Why? Because you know what's better. You know what you should have. And somebody else has it and you want it. Well, that's one flame that envy can burst forth. Another flame that envy can burst forth is hatred. Envy's flame can burst into the sin of hate. And that's where you don't want what someone else has and you don't. You simply hate them for having it. You despise them for having it. You detest them for enjoying it. Now, Joseph's brothers hated him. Their envy had burned into hatred. Hatred that he was their father's favorite. Hatred over his royal robe. Hatred over his dreams. Both of these sins resulting from envy, covetousness and hatred. But they both can burn into the raging inferno of murder. Into murder. Both can birth murder. And that can be murder in your heart. Not just carrying it out. It can be that. But it can be murder in your heart. The desire in your thoughts, the desire in your heart for someone to die. For someone to cease to exist. Or it can be an actual attempt at murder, to actually kill someone, which is what Joseph's brothers were going to do to him, as you'll see next week. What a mess. What a dysfunctional family. What a sin-filled family. Now here you have two marriages, two mistresses, 12 sons, favoritism, envy, hatred, a desire to murder. And this is God's people. This is the family that God made covenant with. This is the family that God would use to fulfill his promise. Which means this. And this is good news. I want you to hear this good news. That God loves, God chooses, God uses sinful, disobedient, dysfunctional, messy people to carry out his purposes, to carry out his will. And that means people like you and me, like us. God would use this messy family. God would use this sinful family. God would use this dysfunctional family for his purposes, for his plan to save his people. God would use the envy. God would use the hatred. God would use the desire for murder in this family to save them through Joseph. Joseph's big dreams would come true eventually. His big dreams would come through eventually, but the road to his dreams was full of suffering, and it was full of hardship, and it was full of trials, and it was full of temptation. But God would use the events and circumstances in Joseph's life and around Joseph's life to enable him to become a prince in Egypt. So that then not only would his family bow down to him, but thousands upon thousands would bow down to him. Now, Joseph's dreams came true. But his dreams also pointed to another. His dreams pointed to another sheaf. They pointed to another prince who was to come. And that, of course, is Jesus. Jesus came to reign over God's people. He came to reign over the family of Jacob. He came to reign over the church. Now, our New Testament lesson this morning was from the Gospel of Luke. And in that passage, the angel Gabriel, the messenger of God, speaks to Mary. And he speaks to Mary about her son, a son who would be conceived by the Holy Spirit. The Son of God, the Son of Mary. And listen again to Gabriel's words. This is in verse 32 of our New Testament passage. Gabriel said, "And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Jesus would reign over the house of Jacob forever. He would reign over the family of Jacob forever. He would reign over God's people forever. The family of Jacob would bow down to God's sheaf. The sun and the moon and the stars would bow down to God's son, whose kingdom will have no end. Jesus was promised to this dysfunctional family. Jesus came through this sinful family to be a blessing to all nations, to save sins, to save the sins of Jacob's family, to save the sins of Israel, to save the sins of God's people, to save your sins and mine, to save us from the sin of envy and the sins that result from envy, covetousness and hatred and murder. Through Jesus, God forgives you of all these sins and more. And all. And Jesus also shows this. Jesus shows that you need not envy. You don't have to envy because you have no need. In Jesus, you have a heavenly Father. And you have a heavenly Father. You have your heavenly Father's love. And you have your heavenly Father's attention. And you have your heavenly Father's favor. And you have your heavenly Father's ear. And you have the Father's gifts. The Father has given you royal robes of righteousness because you're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. He clothes you in Christ, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and whose life Joseph and his dreams pointed to. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and for the truth shown through your word and for the honest accounts of your people in your word. We're thankful that just like you used and you blessed this broken, sinful family of Jacob's, you also use and bless us. Just like you love and chose this broken, sinful family of Jacob's, you love and you choose us through your son, Jesus. Father, thank you for the grace that you pour out upon us, that we are forgiven through Christ, forgiven of our envy, forgiven of our hatred, forgiven of our covetousness, forgiven of the murder we commit in our hearts. Father, help us to be mindful of your love for us, that in it we have no need to envy, because you have given us all that we need. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.